Again, to Ephesus Baptist Church, it's God's house. He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. You know, someone mentioned to me before the service that since Jimmy Brooks presided over opening assembly from the pulpit this morning, that we would just do away with the sermon and we could end it after the special music, but since I get the last vote, I don't think we'll do that today. I had thought about a message on Memorial Day, and I look back, and for the last four Memorial Days, we had, on the Sunday before Memorial Day, we had had a message on that point, and I also wanted to fashion a message for the graduates, since we were recognizing the graduates. So that is the basis for my message today. It's a message to all of us, but particularly to the graduates. And our text comes from 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 11, verses 1 through 15. I invite you to follow along in your Bible as we look at this passage of Scripture. Paul is with false prophets, as he does throughout most of the letters to the church at Corinth. This young church was having a time with people coming in and teaching other than the gospel. And he's writing this second letter to them, and I invite you to follow along. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 15. I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness, but you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may be somehow led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Erica will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do, and I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such men are false prophets, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. I want to test the knowledge of our graduates this morning. We had a very intellectual-looking come forward a while ago. And I want to ask you if the following statement is correct. The Devil Wears Prada is the name of an American metal hardcore band. If it is, answer yes. Okay, got two. The Devil Wears Prada is the title of a movie. Yes. The Devil Wears Prada is the title of a novel. Maybe. That's a good answer. This side was more willing to answer up. The correct answer is all three. It's the Devil Wears Prada is the title of a novel by Laura Weisenberg, written in 2003. It's the title of a movie, a film that came out in 2006, starring Anne Hathaway. And it's also the title of a metal cohort band from Dayton, Ohio, which plays Christian music. They were formed in 2005. It's also the title of several sermons from which I glean most of my thoughts for this morning's message. But for the purpose of the message today, Prada will refer to a high-end Italian fashion company known for its original designs and its product lines. Now, on Prada's webpage, there are several video commercials. And I looked at one of these commercials. It's not intriguing. It's not exciting. It's not appealing. It provided no information regarding Prada's clothing line. The commercial consisted of a bunch of guys standing around, supposedly, I guess, wearing Prada clothes, in sunglasses, and playing guitars. The purpose of the commercial is not to sell clothes. The purpose of the commercial is to sell prestige and style and status. This is what the fashion houses have been selling all along. Their clothes are not significantly different from Walmart and Target, other than in price. Clothes provide covering for your body. Most of them look fairly attractive. But fashion houses are not selling clothes. They're not selling accessories. They are selling image. It's an image of what we could be if only we purchased and wore the clothing and accessories which they are marketing. And Satan does the same thing. He sells an image. As Paul states in our text this morning, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Now, as children, I think most of us, I know I did, but I think most of us did also, thought of Satan as a guy that ran around in red tights and had horns on his head. And I don't think we would buy anything from such a guy. He looks evil, he looks scary, he looks very untrustworthy. But Satan is aware of that fact. He doesn't present such a demeanor to us. He doesn't present himself as evil and wicked and destructive. He masquerades and dresses up in appealing fashion because his object is to sell an image. An image to distract us from what he actually is and from the products he wants us to consume. It's all about packaging. I talk quite often with my son-in-law, Adam, and with Aaron about commercials, because Adam works with the Barden Agency, and Adam works in advertising and print media and all that stuff, and they'll both tell you it's all about packaging. Satan packages his product in such a way that we see what he wants us to see. We don't see how the product actually affects our life. An example of Satan's packaging is, would you be sexually attracted to a woman who has a beautiful face, a shapely figure, and is healthy? Or would you be attracted to a woman who is dying of a sexually transmitted disease, which has disfigured her face and her body? Would you be tempted to buy alcohol from a friendly, handsome, young-looking bartender? Or would you be tempted to buy alcohol from an alcoholic whose drinking has ravaged his body and has caused him numerous health problems and has alienated him from his family and friends? Satan attempts to sell us products which he knows reflects what we really want, what we really desire in life, but which do not provide us peace and happiness. Such products are popularity, attractiveness, pleasure, success, wealth, fame, power, and we could go on and on and on. But Satan is very careful as to how he packages these products. He knows if we determine from where his profit line would lead, then we would never buy anything from him. But Paul tells us in verse 3 of our text that Satan is attempting to sell us the same image that he sold Eve. Listen again. This is what Paul says. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. How was Eve deceived? What image did Satan sell to Eve? Remember, he told her, for God knows that when you eat this, talking about the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan wasn't trying to sell Eve a piece of fruit. Satan was selling Eve an image. You can be like God. Well, the only way we can be like God is to ascend to the throne and be God. We must remove God from the throne, and of course, this will never happen. Remember, Satan tried that once, and it didn't work out so well for him. But people who have been sold Satan's bill of goods try to become God anyway. Satan has told them they can be like God. They try to remove God from the picture somehow. They believe once they had done so, they can be in charge, so they ignore God. They deny God. They make fun of God. They do anything they can or that is necessary to remove God from the throne and place themselves on the throne in their minds. But Jesus taught us that becoming powerful of great does not make you become like God. He said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them and their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be saved, to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. Jesus stripped himself of his divinity. He came down from heaven to be our servant and to give his life as a ransom for us. Jesus is the example of what God teaches will make us great. Satan's message is to become great, we must be God. We must concentrate on ourselves. We must meet our needs. We must put ourselves first, we must lift up ourselves. But Jesus' message is to become great, we must be servants. We must center on God and we must center on others other than ourselves. Now, Satan is smart enough, he doesn't try to sell this image by himself. He knows you're probably not going to believe just him, that you might be suspicious of him. So he has a sales staff. Remember, Paul tells us if Satan can pass himself off as an angel, then his servants can masquerade as servants of righteousness. So Satan understands it's important to have the right people working for him. We would not buy a product from a demonic-looking creature, and neither shall we accept guidance from someone we do not know. So Satan works through those people we know and trust, people with whom we work, people for whom we work, friends and relatives. If Satan can surround us with enough of his salesmen whom we know, then he can change our minds. Several years ago, a team of psychologists conducted an experiment. 10 college students were placed in the back of a room, and they were told that the test would be to see how well they could see objects to determine how well they could see objects at the front of the room. They were instructed that a card would be held up in the front of the room, and on the card would be 3 lines, line A, B, and C, and one would be longer than the other two. And when the facilitator pointed to the line that was the longest, they were to raise their hands. Well, one student did not know that the other 9 had been secretly instructed to vote for the second longest line. In other words, they were to vote incorrectly. So the facilitator would hold up a card and they would vote for the second longest line. The facilitator held up the first card and pointed to line A, which was the second longest line, and 9 students' hands flew up in the air. And the student who was secretly being tested looked around at his fellow students, some who were friends, all of whom he knew, and it was kind of a look of disbelief. It was obvious that line B was the longest, yet everyone seemed to think it was line A. So he raised his hand also. And this scenario occurred each and every time a card was raised. He became very stressed over his predicament, but yet he continued to vote with the other 9, even though he suspected and many times knew for sure that they were wrong. Such is the genius and the cunning of Satan. If he can surround us with enough people who tell us that evil is good, that wrong is right, that God does not care for us, that God does not love us, then we begin to listen, even though we know in our heart of hearts and in our mind that Satan is wrong. Satan will sell us on various ideas. Satan will sell us on the idea that drugs can calm our nerves and give us composure and savoir-faire and relieve our stress. Satan will sell us on the idea that we cannot really enjoy a party unless we consume lots of alcohol. Satan will sell us on the idea that we should sleep with at least 2 or 3 people before we're married so we can really know if we want to be married. Over and over again, Satan sells us on the concept that we can become like God, that we can know good from evil, and we can make the choice without anyone's input. He surrounds us with his sales staff, knowing that if he can persuade us to listen long enough, he can sell us the image he desires, the image which will give him the power to rule our lives. And that's why God created the church. When we spend time with God's people, reading God's word, praying, taking communion, and singing praises to our Lord and Savior, then we learn to take care of each other. We learn to strengthen each other, to fortify each other as we go out individually and battle Satan day after day after day. Our residence for eternity depends on which sales staff has the most success in selling its product to us, Satan's or God's. And when we finally make the correct decision to listen to the sales staff for God, when we finally make the decision to let Jesus become our Lord and Savior, we become God's man or God's woman and never look back. Why? Because we finally rejected the image Satan was trying to sell us, the image that he had planted in our mind. We fully embraced God, who gave his Son to die for us on the cross, and we truly want to be his children. And if you've given your life to Christ but have not made a public profession of your faith, if you have not joined a body of believers, we give you that opportunity today. And I tell all of you, but particularly you graduates, as you go out either to further schooling or to enter the workforce, you're going to meet Satan's sales staff. And they're going to be slick. And they're going to have all the tricks. And they're going to have all the bells and whistles. And they're going to make it very attractive. And they're going to try to convince you that evil is good, that wrong is right, that you can become like God, that you don't need anyone other than yourself to make the decisions. So I just give you that advice, ask you to read God's instruction manual on how to deal with Satan, how to reject the image, how to really consume the product that will give you the peace and happiness that you desire. We invite you to come this morning as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 280.